Greetings to all. As we come to the Lord's altar, let us be reminded we are called to worship God wholeheartedly, in spirit and in truth. Would you praise Him with all of your heart, with everything you've got, totally focused on His greatness and not distracted by life's momentary concerns? So let us praise and worship the God who loves us unconditionally, who came to shed His blood, His precious blood, so we can be forgiven, healed, and restored from our brokenness.
With the precious blood of Jesus Christ. as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Restoration. Help us to honor you and revere your name. Holy Spirit, empower us to live totally surrendered lives in awe of your unstoppable, amazing grace. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for inviting us to worship you this morning. It is always our privilege and joy to come before your presence and offer ourselves as a living sacrifice in worship to you. We have been through so much because of the pandemic, but we believe it too shall pass. Thank you for taking care of us and keeping us together. However, we know that some of our brothers and sisters have either gone through or going through difficult challenges during this season, and I pray that you will remember them and keep them through this season of their lives. Lord, we have determined that it will be beneficial for us to open our church once again so that our brothers and sisters can be joined together in person. We sense that it will be difficult at first, but would you pour your blessings upon us so that we can continue to gather momentum in bringing back the live community and activities that was lost to us for so long. Lord, you're all well aware of many struggles and sufferings that people are enduring all over the world. Evil of racism persists. Hate and discrimination prevails. Greed and devoutry are rampant. Many people, including many athletes, are rising up, trying to make a difference, but there seems to be no end in sight. Lord, have mercy on us and send your Spirit so he can convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. May people fear you, Lord, and recognize that you will keep every one of us accountable for our sins. Help us to return to you and experience your grace and mercy. Help us to come to know your Son, Jesus, who is our only path to salvation and who is the only way, truth, and the life. We lift up our family members who are dealing with pain and suffering. Please fill them with your Holy Spirit so that they can experience your peace and your joy in the midst of the storm they're going through. We lift up our worship time into your hands, and we ask for your affirmation and blessings for the things that we want to offer you today: our money, our praise, our prayer, ministry of your word, and our service. Please receive it with joy, and we pray. We thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture reading for today comes from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 15 to 27. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us this time to study your word together. We pray that your Spirit will help us to open our eyes and our hearts to hear what you are telling us. Lord, help us to truly understand the Holy Spirit who is in us and why he was given to us as a gift. Father, I pray that we'll be able to experience the Holy Spirit as we listen to the word, and that we'll be able to understand how he ministers to us going forward, that we will be open to the Holy Spirit and be able to really commune with you in ways that we have never done before. Please help me as I share this message, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The text we read this morning is part of a long conversation that took place at the Last Supper. The evening probably began with incredible anticipation by the disciples. Jesus asked them to invest their whole future in following him, and they had made the commitment he demanded. Certainly their expectation of the future was sharing the glory of his coming reign. A few days ago, when they entered Jerusalem, there were multitudes of people welcoming their entrance to Jerusalem, shouting messianic titles to their leader, Jesus. Only thing that is left is for Jesus to take his rightful place in the throne, and they will take their place of honor alongside Jesus. Here is the evidence of their thinking. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 to 22, the mother of Zebedee's children, James and John, come to Jesus with her sons. She got down on her knees before Jesus to ask something of him. He said to her, "What do you want?" She said, "Say that my two sons may sit, one at your right side and one at your left side, when you are king." Jesus said to her, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to take the suffering that I'm about to take? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" They said, "Yes, we are able." But instead of talking about what role they will receive once Jesus became king, he began to tell them that things that was not what they expected. He began the evening teaching them the importance of the servanthood. He did this by washing their feet, which was usually done by the servants of local inn or restaurant. Jesus said, since he is their master and serves them by washing their feet, they should do that for one another as well. Then he predicts his betrayal of one of their own members. At this time, Judah had heard enough and decided to cut his loss and salvage whatever profit he can get. He was now ready to give up Jesus to the religious leaders for 30 shekels of silver. Further case of anxiety was Jesus' prediction that Peter was going to deny him. It's not difficult to imagine the others arguing that if Peter was not going to stand the coming test, what hope did they have? Worst of all the news was when Jesus told them he is about to leave them, but they had some great task to fulfill once Jesus was gone. Beginning of chapter 14, Jesus offers his disciples promises in order to bring peace to their troubled hearts. In a series of conversations, Jesus helps disciples to realize that his leaving them is not the unmitigated disaster they imagine. On the contrary, all manner of remarkable blessings will flow from it. In fact, Jesus will even be able to assert in conclusion that his going away is something they can be glad about, because it is for their good that he is going away. So here are the benefits Jesus talked about in chapter 14. First, his going away will secure their future destiny, obviously our destiny as well. And second, his going away will complete Jesus' revelation of the Father. And third, his going away will equip them and us to live for him and serve his mission in the world. Our reading this morning covers the third point about how Jesus will equip us to live for him and serve his mission in the world. But I will briefly mention the first two points with the hopes that you will read the text yourself and gain a better understanding of Jesus' statement. First, his going away will secure their future destiny along with ours. John chapter 14, verse 2 to 3. In my Father's house are many rooms. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. What Jesus promised he will do is that he will return to his Father. His going there will be by a specific route through death and resurrection and glorification. He's going there to prepare a place for his disciples and also for us. The hope of life beyond the grave is rooted in the most certain realities, the reliability and trustworthiness of Jesus Christ. This is why later Paul was able to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 8, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He is saying what awaits us after death when we depart from our bodies is being in the presence of Jesus. It has been a week since we have lost a beloved sister whom we loved and prayed for since she was first diagnosed with cancer. Obviously, not seeing her and experiencing her being with us really hurt. But with our hope in Jesus Christ, we are certain that she is with the Lord right now without pain or suffering. She is currently residing in glory. And I'm sure she will be cheering for us to continue our path to follow Jesus in all of our days. Second benefit Jesus teaches us is that his going away will complete Jesus' revelation of the Father. In John chapter 14, verse 7 and 11, Jesus says, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. In chapter 14, after Jesus makes the statements in verse 7, Philip asks a question that I believe many people of the world would like to ask and claim themselves. In verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. In other words, show us God and we will believe. This is a cry of our world, isn't it? Where is God in the midst of our suffering? Why is there so much evil in the world if God is so loving? Disclosure of God through Jesus is made possible by Jesus' total submission to the Father and his unwavering obedience to his commands, which was made complete by his obedience unto death. When Jesus submitted completely to the Father, even unto death, the world has truly known and seen God. They witnessed an act of infinite love and holiness as Christ, the sent one of the Father, bears the sins of his creatures. God demonstrated his love for the people of the world when he didn't stand idle by while humanity suffered, but he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to save all humankind from their sins. Jesus' death and resurrection proved the love of God and his plan of salvation for the suffering world. We now turn to our main topic for this morning's message, third benefit, which explained that his going away will equip them and us to live for him and serve his mission in the world. I would like for us to pause and ask ourselves, what would really help us to grow spiritually? What would help us to get over our commitment and dedication issues? If Jesus was physically present with us, would that change anything? Do you think that is what we are missing? Jesus' reality and presence in our lives. Imagine if we can see him physically and he's around us and the church all the time. Wouldn't we be spending a lot more time with him? We can witness him doing all kinds of amazing work in our church. We probably couldn't wait to listen to his message. Forget only on Sunday. How about every day? I would love to listen to him teach us the life-giving truth all the time. If we have a problem, Jesus can help us to approach it with insight, and we will know what we need to do. Even if we were to suffer, we would gladly do it if we were certain that we were suffering for Christ's sake. If I'm sick, I'm not going to the doctor first. I will ask Jesus to heal me because he probably can heal my sickness from its roots without waiting for MRIs or x-rays. In the light of our current predicament, as we face the threat of an untreatable global pandemic, how wonderful and beneficial would it be to have Jesus who can heal all kinds of sickness? And when it comes to life's decisions, why would we worry when Jesus is here to guide us and help us with our decision making? Who else would I go see to share my anxieties and struggles? If Jesus was present with us, I believe my journey as a follower of Jesus Christ would be much more different. I think I would be laser focused with complete devotion. And I imagine that it might be still hard, but a very exciting journey. So if I was there when Jesus was telling his disciples it would be better for him to go away, I would definitely voice my concern and say, "No, Lord, it would not be. My walk with you will be so much better if you are physically present." Unless, of course, Jesus knew something that I did not. How is Jesus going to replace his presence and everything he did and meant for the disciples? Starting from verse 15. Jesus will address this question as he explains the work of the Holy Spirit, who would replace Jesus' physical presence. Apostle John in this text reveals that the Spirit is nothing less than the life breath of the exalted Jesus, who makes the victory of Jesus available for the people of God in history. Let's take a look at following passages. "I will not leave you as orphans, and I will come to you." What did Jesus mean when he said he will come to the disciples? Historically, Jesus did come to them following resurrection and obviously helped them to overcome their sorrow and distress. But his appearance was sporadic. And afterwards, the resurrected Jesus did leave them. So maybe Jesus' promise in coming to them was not in his resurrection. In verse 16, Jesus promises to give the disciples another counselor to be with them forever. The word "another" in this text is critical. In Greek, there are two words mainly translated as "another." First word is "hetros," which carries the meaning of "another kind," as in, "This wrench doesn't fit, bring me another one." Second word is "elos," which refers to another of the same kind, same essence. When Jesus was promising another counselor, he was using the word "elos" to tell his disciples that the counselor that he was going to send was a person of same essence as Jesus, to replace his physical presence and to dwell with the disciples forever. In verse 26, Jesus reveals the identity of the counselor, saying that he is actually the Holy Spirit. With these passages, we could conclude that Jesus' promise of coming to the disciples is best interpreted as his coming in the person of the Holy Spirit. The promise of his spiritual presence in every believer through the Holy Spirit. This might be the reason why the releasing of the Holy Spirit was in some ways better than physical presence, because Jesus in his body was limited by space and time. But now, through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is able to be present for all his followers, no matter where and when. What Jesus taught was that everything he was to his disciples in his physical body will now be experienced through the Holy Spirit. We can see this really happening in Acts as the disciples begin to do the amazing work that Jesus had done. In our text this morning, Jesus will provide several examples of Spirit's work in believers' life. Let's take a look at that. The work of the Holy Spirit in us. He will teach us into all truth. He will provide comfort. He will give us peace. And he will unite us to the risen Jesus and the Father in a new intimacy of relationship. Let's get to the first point. First, Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth and will teach us into all truth. Holy Spirit is like Jesus, who revealed the truth and embodied the truth of God. Holy Spirit is the one who divinely inspired the disciples to recall the words that Jesus had taught them, so that when they recorded them as scripture, the words would be perfect and error-free. Holy Spirit work in our hearts by convicting us of sin, affirming the truth of in our hearts, opening our understanding to the depth of truth God has revealed. And he will often bring to mind appropriate verses and truth from the scripture at just the right time. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but it has happened to me so many times. And the Holy Spirit will work through the Word of God. He will help people to understand it, appreciate the reality of the things which the Word is speaking, and helping people to realize that in the Word, God is addressing them. Christ is drawing near to them. And there are challenges which we must respond, which means being convinced in our hearts, we must react to them. In contrast, we can compare those who had knowledge of God's word without the work of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Nicodemus was one example. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council, which means he was an expert in the law of the Old Testament. But yet, when he visited Jesus to investigate his identity, Nicodemus couldn't understand Jesus' reference to prophet Ezekiel's prophecy that was related to being spiritually born again in the spirit and water. What Ezekiel foresaw was a time of God's blessings where his people would be cleansed with water and would be given a new heart, when God will put a new spirit and take away the stony heart out of their flesh. There were two sides of renewing work of God according to Ezekiel. Purifying side, symbolized by water, represented cleansing from the pollution of sin. And the animating side, symbolized by the new spirit or new heart, was that would empower his people to love, to obey God's command, which was a heart that natural sinful person has never known before. Because of this utterly transforming effects, the only way to describe this is completely new start, completely new stage of existence, similar to a baby that begins to live, which Jesus referred to as being born again. Nicodemus, without Spirit's help, absolutely could not understand it. But as I studied it, it was just such a profound revelation of God's word. We also remember there were many scholars, teachers, and religious leaders in Israel who were all well trained in the Bible or the Old Testament during Jesus' time. But in their astute reasoning, they determined that Jesus was from the devil. We absolutely need the help of the Holy Spirit to understand God's word and to apply it in the proper way. We also need the Holy Spirit to be our inner witness so we can experience God's prompting in our day-to-day living. Second function of the Holy Spirit in us is his work to comfort us. In the text, the disciples were troubled in their hearts because of what Jesus was saying about how he will be betrayed, denied by his own disciples, and then taken to be killed. We have been listening to Pastor David's sermon series on Lamentation, and I think we can safely affirm Jesus' statement when he told his disciples, in this world, there will be tribulation. I like to quote one author who wrote about what causes the troubled hearts. Life at times does not appear to make discernible sense. The vastness of the universe oppresses us. The seemingly generation after generation with little apparent meaning at the heart of it all. In our personal lives, unexpected happenings break in uninvited, sometimes cruelly, and we find ourselves lisping the verdict of Macbeth. Life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. In such moods, we cry out from our troubled hearts for some word from beyond to reassure us that there is a meaning, that a heart of love still beats behind the cold indifference and arbitrariness of things. In Jesus and his coming, his death and his rising, God speaks his word of peace. There's meaning. Life can make sense. And purpose can be reborn for us amid the years. In this man and his life of lowly service unto death, God is made known. A God in whom we can truly believe and find peace. The answer to the anxiety of troubled heart is assured knowledge. The assured knowledge comes from or through Jesus. Same thing is said in chapter 15. When Jesus gives the answer to the troubled heart, he tells them, trust in God. Trust also in me, Jesus. I believe comfort comes from knowing that we're not alone. Jesus says in verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. This means that not only will the Holy Spirit dwell in us, but he will never leave. What Jesus promised was unprecedented because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and left once his work was done in the chosen person. We will never be alone, no matter what we may go through in life, because Jesus in the form of the Holy Spirit will always accompany us through different seasons of life. I might also add the fact that our English word comfort comes from two Latin words, meaning with strength, which is more than consoling or soothing. True comfort strengthens us to face life bravely and keep on going. The comfort does not rob us of responsibility, nor does it make it easy for us to give up. It is through battling through our troubles while finding comfort in Christ, we are able to offer comfort in others. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3-4, Paul says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Third function of the Holy Spirit's work in our text is that he will give us peace. In verse 27, Jesus tells his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." What Spirit will impart to us is a gift of Jesus' own peace. And this peace is a unique and supernatural reality, not as that of the world. During Jesus' time, people were able to enjoy Pax Romana, which means peace of Rome. But it was a peace won and maintained by the brutal force of the sword. This kind typifies the peace that this world gives. Peace achieved by human means at the expense of others. But the Spirit reaches beyond these lesser expressions for an inner tranquility of spirit, not distracted from the world of responsibility and relationships, but nourished and expressed in the midst of it. Peace Jesus gives to us through the Holy Spirit is a peace born from a living, personal relationship with Jesus and deepened through a growing surrender of life to his gracious rule. This is what the Holy Spirit makes available to the troubled heart of the disciples and to us. Lastly, it is the work of the Holy Spirit that will unite us to the risen Christ and the Father in a new intimacy of relationship. The truth of Jesus' presence to the Holy Spirit is such an amazing reality for all of us, yet very elusive in our encounter of it. Many of us have a vast knowledge of Jesus as he is the focal point of everything we learn in the Bible, and rightfully so. But the unfortunate reality is that the person whom Jesus would send to help us to continue to live as if Jesus was present with us today is not as well known and received by those of us who claim to follow Jesus. In our reality, the person of the Holy Spirit is mostly mentioned in passing, but may not be properly recognized and sincerely welcomed in our prayers, in our worship, in our thinking, our meetings of every kind that is supposed to be God-centered, and even in our plannings for his church. As one pastor sorrowfully remarked, "Church today will operate just fine without the Holy Spirit, and she can very well succeed without the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ." When we ignore the real presence of the Holy Spirit in us, we're going to miss experiencing the intimacy with Jesus and the Father. How many of us experience our hearts being stirred up when we think about Jesus? How many of us can truly confess with all our heart that we love the Father, we love Jesus? I assure you that this is not something that is easy to do, particularly when we don't know God as well. But Jesus tells us, Father and the Son will make their home with us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now we can love the Father and the Son because we know them. When we praise God, there's no need for us to shy away from opening our mouth to sing to God and about God. The difference between God and Muslim worship, and the one that we worship is the fact that God of Islam demands unconditional surrender. Our God desires our heart and praise that derive from our love toward him. Through the Holy Spirit, we can know God personally and intimately. He is in us, and we are in him. And nothing can separate us from his love for us. And we can choose to love him back. In our text this morning, on at least three occasions, Jesus would remind his disciples the importance of loving him. In fact, Jesus will make this a required condition to receive his Spirit. "If you love me, you'll obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. In verse 21, Jesus says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Again in verse 22, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him, make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. It is very clear from these teachings that love is at the heart of our relationship with Jesus and the Father. And this love will manifest itself through our willing obedience to his teachings. I believe this love for Christ comes from our heartfelt appreciation of him and should express itself in concern for his pleasure. But I need to clarify that while this obedience to Jesus is the key on the human side to receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are not speaking about perfection. We can clearly see that Jesus' first disciples were not super disciples deserving the gift of the Spirit because of their extraordinary faith and obedience. From the Gospels, we are clearly able to see that they did not understand many things because their thoughts were often not the thoughts of God. And at the time of Jesus' greatest need, they forsook him and fled. And Peter even denied that he knew Jesus at all. So the obedience Jesus talked about is a belief in Jesus and a commitment to follow him in contrast to the people of the world. As far as we can tell, the disciples did love Jesus, and in their own imperfect way, they did obey him. Love for Jesus does not end in indifferent obedience to his will. Obedience is involved, but it leads to an experience of the love of the Father and the Son and the revelation of the Son to the believer, which are the greatest incentive to express our love for Christ by obedience to his will. Holy Spirit's work in us will further strengthen our love for Jesus. If you recall, earlier in my message, I mentioned the prophecy of Ezekiel when he prophesied that the blessed people of God will not only be cleansed from their sin, but they will be empowered to love, to obey God's commands, which was a heart that natural person has never known before. And according to Ezekiel, this will be the work of the new spirit God will put in people's hearts. Therefore, our fellowship and obedience to the Holy Spirit will continue to strengthen and intensify our love for Jesus, which will strengthen our love for Jesus. This is important, as we will see later when we get to the Holy Spirit's work in the church. A loving community is a visible authentication of the gospel. As Francis Schaeffer would say, love is the final apologetic. We have barely scratched the surface of Holy Spirit's work in a believer. I began my series teaching on the subject of inner working of the Holy Spirit to help us understand that the function of the Holy Spirit is not restricted to the bestowal of spiritual gifts or the production of Christian character, but includes the creation of sense of intimacy with Jesus himself as well. Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force or power, but he is a person to listen to, and to be obeyed. Let's pray together. Father, in my message, I have imagined the scenario about how our lives and our dedication and devotion to you will change if you are physically present with us. How we will look forward to listening to your word. How we would love to be with you at all times. Well, sending your Holy Spirit according to your word is your way of sending yourself to us. It is no longer a physical presence, for sure, but it is a spiritual presence that is in us. We are in you, and you are in us. And Father, the moment we come to the reality of this truth, I believe our spirit and our faith will continue to grow, Father. We'll be able to experience intimacy that we have never had before, to a point where we sing about you, where we pray. We will not be speaking to the air, but a person that we personally know, that we care about, that we love. Father, this is my hope as we share this message this morning, that this word will really, really seep into the heart of all of us who are listening, to help us to understand that, Lord Jesus Christ, you are with us now in your spirit. And our lives can change because of it. So God, help us to really understand that and experience that in the coming days of our week. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
What an amazing promise. The Holy Spirit is the very presence of God Himself in us. Through the transformational power of the Holy Spirit, God changes us from the inside out, and we learn to love Him above all else, making it possible for us to live a life of total obedience to His will and purposes.
A thousand times I've failed, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all faith. Above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond. Justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out.
Will above all else,
will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all faith. Yeah, my heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out. Justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the end. Lord, my soul cries out. give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out.
Thank you for joining our worship service this morning. I hope you have been encouraged and blessed by our time together. Please linger in the Zoom worship room to greet and catch up with other brothers and sisters in the church family. We'd like to thank many brothers and sisters laboring together to make our weekly worship service available online. These people are listed in our weekly order of service. Please give thanks and pray for them as they serve. Our condolences to the family of Josie Tu on her passing away. She went to be with the Lord on August 21st at the age of 58. May the Lord comfort the bereaved family. Sister Pauline Chang's memorial service was held on August 29th. Many Chinese ministry leaders were in attendance. We pray for God's continued blessing upon our family members as they go through the grieving process. Pastor David is on vacation from August 19th until September 2nd. If you need assistance, please get in touch with me. Our consistory has made a decision to open the church beginning on September 13th, as long as BC remains in phase 3 of the BC restart plan. We will only be offering one in-person service at 10:45 a.m., and it will also be live-fed virtually. If you'd like to attend in person, you will have to sign up as there will only be 50 spaces that are available. We will provide you with more details in the coming weeks. On the day of our church reopening, church youth ministry will be resuming at the normal time of 10:45 as well. We're also happy to report that university ministry will begin in Sunday school for the first time. And that meeting will take place at 9 a.m. Sunday. If you are at the age between 18 to 25 and you would like to join the University Sunday School, please contact me and I will refer you to the university ministry leaders. Children's Sunday School has made a decision to reopen its ministry on October 11th. If you have any questions about Children's Sunday School, please contact Pastor Arlene for more information. I mentioned last week about the consistory decision to replace our septic tank that has come to its end of life. The expected cost for replacement is estimated at $50,000 to $70,000. We'd like to ask for your prayers and support for the project. Please continue to pray for our search for senior pastor. We would also like to ask you to pray for in-house intern for accounting and for children's ministry as well. Details of the job descriptions are provided in our church website under jobs and careers. And please contact our pastors if you'd like to attend any of our virtual meetings taking place on any time of the week. That's the end of the announcement. Now, if you're able to stand, please stand with us as we sing the song of doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all until Christ return, when we're able to see Him face to face. Amen. Thank you. Amen. 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 Thank you again for joining us today. May the Lord richly bless you and keep you until we see each other next week.